Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and tonight I'm joined by my special homie, my big brother in the house, Mr. J. Say hi, Mr.
What up? What up? What up? What up, people? How's everybody doing?
Right, and if you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're a little too shy, you don't want to call us and talk on the air, you can feel free to jump into the chat room, or you can always email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. We take all thong, well, not all thong pictures, but if you got a thong picture.
Well, wait a minute, hold on now. Don't speak too soon. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Yeah, thong shots. Get thumbs up for thong shots.
You know, come on now, you know.
Ladies. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, because any of you fools, you know, any of you dudes who forget who you are and what you are, you know, you get hurt doing that. Trust me.
Yeah.
You will get hurt. Or if it's me, I'll just put you on blast.
All right. And speaking of putting them on blast, what we always do, the things that crazy people do. First up, Minnesota thieves who stole $70,000 worth of bull semen. In Minnesota, I mean, I don't know what the market is for bull semen in Minnesota. I mean, obviously, it's hot, but I'm thinking that there's only so many places where you can go. They might be camped out waiting on you.
All right, let me jump in here on that one. First of all, $70,000 worth?
According to them, $70,000 worth of bull semen.
Second question, and it's just a simple one, three letters, why? Really, what y'all going to do with that?
I think they're going to, you know, crack heads, meth heads, they be itching. It's like,
I don't want to say it's, you know, I'm going to be real with you. It can't be us. It's got to be them. And you know what I mean by that, because we don't do that.
But see, that's why I say crazy people, because
you know.
You kind of have to be crazy to plot to steal semen.
Anybody. I mean, I know some chicks have done it to some dudes before, but that's different.
Right.
You know, but if you're stealing animal semen, I mean, come on now.
Well.
Is there a black market we don't know about? Because the $70,000 worth, you know, for you to want to even think about doing it and then do it, apparently you know people out there that wants that kind of, that, you know, that there's got to be a market out there for it. Somebody put it on the back of, you know, put it in Craigslist or somewhere, and somebody else saw that little ad that said need, you know, wanted.
Well,
you know,
I
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope they did. I hope they know someone, because if they don't, kind of messed up. You know, you just got vials of bull semen hanging around the house. It's like I can't hang with you, dog. What's that? Oh, that man, that's that bull semen that we,
you know,
the other night.
And I'm over here on the East Coast. I can only imagine going, you know, going to Brooklyn or someplace and, you know, some pools, you know, on the corner. Yo, I got that BS. What you mean that BS? That bull semen. I'm going to look at them like they're crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a little.
But, you know, you did say this was Minnesota, so
well,
I'm assuming it was a farm.
Yeah.
I can't, I'm not even. Yeah, look, I'm not trying to sound racist, but come on now. We don't do that. That's all I'm saying. We don't do that.
Yeah, we do some crazy stuff, though.
Yeah.
We do some
what else, stuff. What else you got? What else you got? Because that's already on the number one. I don't think you got anything else that can top that.
I got number two, a man who was trying to steal a truck in Des Moines, Iowa. Instead, he decided the truck was too much, and he took a bag of dog poop that was in the back instead.
Say that again.
Yeah, you heard me.
Not dog food, but dog shit.
Yeah, dog shit. He took, instead of taking the truck, he broke into the truck. And instead of taking the truck, he took the dog shit that's in the back seat.
Did he know it was dog poop?
I mean,
maybe he thought it was like somebody's lunch or something. Well, let's hope that.
Oh, okay, but it's in the bag and shit kind of smells.
Well, it's still like, this is considered like winter going into spring, so maybe it's still kind of frozen. It didn't thaw, you know, to the point where it thawed out yet, you know?
No, shit kind
of smells. I'm
hoping. Shit kind of smells.
Again, this is something they do. We don't do that. I don't even care how high you are on drugs. Nope. I've seen some crackheads out here that do some crazy. No, they don't even do that. I think there's rules. Depending on where you are, there's certain rules to crack them. You know, there's certain things that, you know, certain people do. And I think with certain other people, they'll do anything. That just proved my point.
Well, they said that the dog poop was valued at a dollar.
Okay, see, now I want to know who's putting value on dog poop.
Well,
I want to talk to that person. Like, how do you come up with that estimate? Is there a market for that now?
Hey, in Iowa, I mean, obviously it is. Maybe it's like some fertilizer type deal.
No, see, I can understand if he said he took like some top quality, you know, cow manure. I can understand that fertilizer is expensive. You know what I'm saying? They pay a lot for cow poop. Dog poop, no. Come on now. For real.
For real?
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you go to your local, you know, like Lowe's or Home Depot, that stuff ain't, you know, it ain't cheap no more because everybody's starting to use it, you know, and then all they got to do is slap on the label, you know, like free roaming, you know, like the cows and, you know, like
free roaming.
Yeah, you know, seriously. And then boom, that ups the value.
That free range shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, free range, you know.
Yeah, this is shit from a chicken that wasn't in the cage.
Yeah, you know, and people fall for that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, I try to eat healthy and all, but I'm not going to go, you know, come on. You can't really tell me what the difference is between going to, like, your local grocery store and getting Purdue and then going to, like, Whole Foods or whatever, you know, like an organic grocery store and paying $2 to $3 more for some free range chicken. You can't even tell me the difference. Because if you take them both out the wrapper and put them on the counter, you ain't going to know which is which.
What? One of them is free range.
The chicken yeah, but just
in the field.
But can you tell just by looking at them? If you took the labels off of both, how are you going to know which one is which? That's my point.
Because the free range chicken, they have a muscular skeleton.
But let's just move on to the next one, because come on now. So far,
all right.
Got somebody that stole poo, and then we got somebody that stole bull semen.
Right.
Okay.
Now there's in Detroit, there's a food truck owner who he had on his menu some mozzarella sticks he described as battered like your wife.
What?
Yeah, it was his joke. He used to have the ad of, I'm going to say his name, I'm going to fuck it up though, Joe Sciamana or whatever. He owns Dago Joe's and they serve Italian dishes. And he says, we're not joking about battered women. We're just joking about the battered mozzarella sticks that he sells.
Okay, so you know there's a women's group or someone out there that don't like the tone. You know, they ain't like, you know, I guarantee you they're going to protest his truck now.
Right, but why would you say, yeah, my mozzarella sticks are battered like your wife?
He's ignorant, and he wants to get attention.
Yeah, but is that the kind of attention you want? You want every woman to be like, yeah, I ain't eating there.
Well, I mean, when did he come up with this marketing campaign, first of all?
Oh, well, he's been doing it since day one. He just now took it down because there was just like a whole bunch of folks like, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, how long was it up?
From day one, supposedly.
Well, what is day one? How long had he had his business? Is what I'm saying.
Well, they don't say how long he's had.
Oh, because I'm saying if it's been up for a while, then he was making money. People were still, you know, they were still patronizing his business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he probably over time, you know, he probably started losing customers. But, I mean, you know, if I mean, I don't know. That's yeah, that. But that's not that crazy. I've seen worse.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen worse too. But it's still not cool.
I'm certain in certain parts of this country that we probably never traveled through or just, you know, have no reason to go there.
Yeah.
There's businesses who advertise their business in a local newspaper or whatever, and they probably have certain slogans or marketing strategies, and, you know, there's some type of, you know, racism or whatever in their, you know, in their marketing, and you never hear about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some like chicken that black folks won't eat, serve here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, could be.
Or it's like you can drive, like I remember years ago, I was down south, and this was like North Carolina, and this man, you know, he had a watermelon business, you know? I mean, it was pretty good, because like as you're driving down this highway, you would see signs. I mean, apparently this dude is known for having like some of the best watermelon, I guess, in the state. And as you're driving towards the business, every couple of miles, you would see a sign. And every one of them signs had, like, some sort of...
Don't say blackface.
Yes. Not blackface, but black caricature, you know, of some, you know, like, a, you know,
right.
A child or something eating watermelon.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, this was, like, about 20 years ago, but even then, in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, come on now.
Let's just stop that one.
Yeah, okay, see?
I ain't trying to be mad the first second.
Okay.
Now, there's I'm mad at the people up here in the Bay Area. There's
okay.
People on the jury. There's this San Francisco man who was accused of burglarizing the apartment last year. He was acquitted this week because his attorney successfully argued that he was actually attempting to board a spaceship he thought was on its roof.
Oh, he was on that serious Molly, huh? He was really mollied up.
But they told the court that he was suffering meth-induced psychosis and believed the end of the world was here. So he said he broke into the place because he believed there was a spaceship on the roof, and he was trying to get to the spaceship to get away.
I mean, that's a, you know, I mean, they should have put him, I forget what the medical term is, but before they arrest, like over here in the East, like in New York and in Jersey, you know, they take you to the local psych hospital and put you on a 24-hour, 48-hour evaluation.
Yeah.
To see if you really are crazy. Did they do that?
Well, just because you're on meth don't mean you're crazy.
No, but what I'm saying is maybe he had some straight-up psychotic episode. Not necessarily saying he was on meth, but the man could be legit. He could have legit, you know, mental issues.
Well, obviously he does, because he thought it was a spaceship.
So, I mean, who's the lawyer? Let's shake the lawyer's hand.
But it's public defender.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm like public defender Jeff Adachi. I'm like, that's the one I'm calling.
You know, if he was able to do that, yeah, there's some law firms out there that's looking for him now. They want him on their team.
Oh, he got a job. He got a job that day. It was like, what? You argue spaceship? He got off? Oh.
You know?
Here's six figures, dog.
You work. Oh, yeah, you know? What are you making at the public, at the public defender's office? What are you making, like 50 a year? We're going triple that, you know?
You work for us now.
You work for us now. But then, you know, that's also compromising your beliefs and everything, so, you know.
Compromising what beliefs?
I guarantee you. I mean, I'm just saying, like, in situations like that, you know, not to digress off the subject, but the minute you get hired by, like, another company, like, in this case, he was a public defender. There was a reason why he wanted to be a public defender, you know, because he believed in certain issues or whatever. You know, it's you know, he was defending people who can't defend themselves, you know, financially or whatever. So now he's got this job, unless it's with a large law firm that still does, like, you know, civil-type work, you know, for the public. You know, if he's working for one of these big old law firms and, you know, they make him backdoor, they make their money making backdoor deals, then he can compromise his beliefs. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to call in and challenge me on that, but it's okay. Hey. What's next?
That's it. I got nothing else this segment, you know.
Okay. Well, I got one if we got time for it. A little crazy thing.
Okay.
And I didn't believe it. I'm on the internet now looking for the story again, but I saw it like a couple of days ago. But anyway, a dude is he's divorcing his wife because she took too many selfies and put them on Facebook. Your thoughts?
Man.
That's the basis of his divorce. He's leaving her because in the last year, I guess he knew she had a Facebook page. But I guess, you know, he thought she was cheating. He put on some spyware or something. One day he went to download or look onto the program. And within a year, I don't know if exactly a year, but like say by 9 to 10 months time, she uploaded over 4,000 selfies of herself.
All right. We going on a break now.
Okay. I tried.
I can't do no more. It's break time. This is New Orleans in the house. J Electronica, Exhibit C.
Check the barometer. behind my back like the Verizon man. I play the back and face the black and then devise a plan. Out in London, smoking bottom while I ride the tram, giving out that raw food to lions disguised as lambs. And by the time they get their seat tied and before all the henchmen to come at me from the treetop, I'm chilling out at tree stock, building by the million. My life is brilliant.
Exhibit C, and of course I'm here with my man, my big brother in the house, Mr. J.
What up, yo? That reminds me, that's straight. I mean, that's that beat was just, you know.
Yeah.
That reminded me of, I say, '90s, you know, '90s hip hop.
Yeah, that's just hip hop.
You know, and I mean, I know I'm from the East. I gotta say, it just sounds like something that came.
New Orleans
mixtape in Brooklyn. I mean, I know it's New Orleans, but I'm just saying.
New Orleans. Stop it.
No. Okay. You can claim the artist, but I'm saying the beat is straight.
I don't want to hear it.
The beat is straight. That's some deep in the basement Brooklyn stuff.
Oh. Yeah. See, that's what he was saying. Y'all was calling Southern rappers lame, but then.
But come on now.
What?
All right. I'll put it to you this way.
Put it to me.
Just listen for a moment.
He
don't sound like your typical Southern rapper. He sounds straight up East Coast. Now, that could be Philly, it could be DC, it could be New York. That's what he sounds like. That beat, you don't hear that coming from anywhere in the South. You don't. You know I'm telling the truth on that.
That's a lie.
Where?
See, my homie. Next Ooh. Break, my next
right, break. But I'm telling you, if you dig in the crate,
dig. I don't have to dig. This is 2015.
Okay, yeah, but where? I'm telling you, that sound that they're doing now, the music. I'm not talking about the rap. I'm just talking about the production.
Right.
I'm telling you, I could pull a tape out from 1999 and give you, and you'd be like, wow, that sounds like, you know, some old school stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not knocking Jay. Jay's nice. Jay's always been nice.
Okay.
But that production, yeah, it sounds like, you know, some old school stuff. I like it.
Right. That's why I play it. Because I like
you
know? It.
Now, if you would have said some stuff like some Wheezy or something like that, I would have probably hung up. I would have been, all right, I'm out. See ya.
See, why you do that?
Come on now. We've had this discussion before.
Okay.
There's a difference between hip-hop. And there's a difference between hip hop and rap.
Hold on, I don't do none of that other stuff. I don't do that R&B fake rapping scenario.
Okay, well that's what I'm saying. You know, like if I'm not saying you would have put on Drake or somebody, but now with the exception of I'm gonna say this and you can quote me, with the exception of like I'm talking about commercial radio, with the exception of like a J. Cole. Ain't too many dudes out there that I would listen to right now.
Okay.
You know?
That's cool.
Is that fair?
That's fair. I don't listen to none of them either.
Okay.
I mean, my radio is on AM radio, and if I do listen to FM radio, it's the jazz station.
Man, at least you listening to the radio. I got nothing but like stuff downloaded, like old stuff. I'll pull up some old and listen to it.
Oh no, don't get me wrong. I've got my MP. I got a couple MP3 players with like 5,000-6,000 songs on them.
Yeah.
So
I smile when I hear stuff from like 95, 94. You know, I can't even listen to anything early 2000 because it hurts my head.
I feel you there.
And you know me, I'm a big Jay fan, and you know I don't. If it's anything, you know, I'll just say anything when he was still part of Rockefeller, I'll listen to it. But like his newer stuff, I can't really get with him. But that's a whole another discussion for another time.
Yeah, definitely. I do have a discussion for you.
What's that?
Now Brazil has had a little controversy. You know, it was Easter last week.
Right.
Miss Bum Bum. I don't know if you've heard of Miss Brazil, Miss Bum Bum.
You know what? It was on my feed. It was on my Facebook feed.
Yeah, she got the bum bum. Well, she did the naked all over her naked body. She painted the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Now I thought it was very tasteful, but I didn't know it was a Virgin Mary.
Well, because you still have people in certain parts of this world that take their Christianity very seriously. And when you deface anything related to the Bible, the Virgin Mary, for example, they start screaming, you know, blasphemy and things like that.
But they're Catholic.
It doesn't matter.
That's not Christian.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, when you do something like that, you know, there's always going to be a larger segment of society that's going to be, you know, foul on the play. You know, they're going to blow a whistle.
Well,
and Ms. Bond, if I'm not mistaken, she's white, right? Well, she's a Caucasian Brazilian, right?
She got some skin color.
Okay. Well,
she's got some. I didn't really pay attention to that.
Right.
It, you know, the art on her body was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm an artist, so I was admiring the art.
Right. And I know that's where you were going. Like, you have people
The texture was perfectly, I mean, it was like, bam.
Right. I mean, you have people out here that truly looked at it for, you know, like art, you know, like just the craft itself. You know, they looked at the artistic value in it. But, you know, not everybody's going to do that. Why are you laughing at me, man?
It was definitely about the artistic.
I'm just trying to keep it clean.
I know. It's clean. If it got any cleaner, it'd be like this soap that they're talking about.
We'd actually be on the radio, right?
Yeah, something like that. Cause that's a perfect segue into what I was talking to next. I saw this article. How recycled bars of soap could help prevent illnesses in developing countries. And I guess there's this company, they recycle soap, and it's called Clean the World, and they ship that soap off to...
Basically, they're taking used soap from other people and just sending it to third world countries that may not... I mean, I can kind of see the validity in that. You know, I mean, if you live in an area of the world where you don't have standard plumbing and, you know, access to clean water or very little access, I guess, yeah, soap would help, you know?
But are they doing
this to make a profit?
Well,
of course.
It's a non-profit, they say, but mm-hmm. they repurpose the soap. They put it all, I'm just like, you just mixing DNA. I mean, I don't know.
Oh yeah, how do you clean? Okay, yeah, how do you clean? How do you repurpose soap? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen bathrooms where like there's about five or six little pieces of soap left over. Like, you know, you mash them all together to make one big piece of soap so you can wash your hands or whatever. But
right. That's what they do.
That's what, I mean, you if you grew up in the hood, you do that. But, you know, I don't know about sending it off someplace and, you know.
They say they use meat grinders, potato peelers, and cookers to recycle it. So.
Man, okay. I guess everybody's got a gimmick. Somewhere, I'm telling you, there's a financial backer somewhere that's trying to make some money off of that. So if they're doing it to the third world countries now, I'm telling you, they're perfecting a way before they start selling it to regular people.
Well, all I know is no.
You had a call?
No, I think we got cut off.
And
I think we're back. Hello.
Hello.
Well, yeah, I guess y'all missed it. I'm hearing that we was talking about repurposed soap. Yeah, if you go to a third world country, you might get some used soap that somebody had up their butt crack.
Damn, now you're making it even worse.
I'm just saying. It's repurposed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's just hope they have figured out a way, okay, this soap was used on the face and this soap was used on the butt. You know? Are they putting the two together?
Move the butt cheek. Butt cheek.
All right, this is where the show takes its turn south, okay?
Actually, what we going to do, because I did have a question. So
what's that?
I have a question. Why black folk don't acknowledge each other when passing by?
That's crazy. Yeah, we do. Come on. Now, what have you been through? Where have you been walking and you ain't see a brother walking the other way and you give him the nod? Come on now.
I give the nod, but
I give the nod.
Hey.
Even if I don't know you. I definitely give the nod if I don't know you because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, like, look the other way like I'm scared of you. I'm just going to give you the nod like, hey, like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, I ain't got to stop and say my brother was up and on. But, you know, it's the universal nod. We all give it.
Right. But apparently this emailer is not getting nod.
Well, we need to have another meeting and get that email out to everybody.
Right.
You know, I think if, you know, honestly, that by doing that kind of, you know, deters a lot of other situations that can go out of hand, I truly believe.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, but see, now here's the difference, though. I mean, in some cases, I can understand where you might not give the nod.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like in certain areas, you know, there are some people who, you know, they may be selling some illegal things. You give them the nod, that's saying, hey, I want something.
Yeah, and then there's always an undercover cop somewhere, you know,
right,
watching them both. Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah.
So you can get caught up there in that
situation.
That's my number one thing.
Yeah, but I mean,
cause,
I mean, at least with me, I don't think of it at that moment. Like, if I'm walking through Harlem or wherever, if I'm like out in Cali and I'm walking through Compton, I'm more concerned with this brother walking towards me, you know. Is he trying to, you know, he gonna try to hold me up, or is he just like, you know, is he just afraid of me as I am of him, or whatever? So you give the, you know, you give the nod like, what's up, and you keep it moving.
Right.
I'm not thinking about, you know, okay, there are undercover cops around, and they're thinking I'm trying to buy drugs from this dude.
No,
because
I'm just saying, just in general. I mean, that'd be the only situation where I'd be like, I mean, because you know the dude that's holding.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of obvious. They stand out in the crowd.
Yeah, they make themselves really, you know.
Right.
My man.
Right. Yo.
And, you know, what's up? You good? And it always starts off with, you good? Yeah.
Last time I checked, Mo.
You know? Yeah, you don't really want to go there, because then they'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they either whistling or doing some type of code that you don't know,
right,
and next thing you know, about five or six of them surrounding you.
Yeah, trust me, I know. Now I have another theory though. Since we on them type brothers, whatnot, I have always had the theory that if you was a thug, a lot of thugs are like people who are confused about their feelings, and they don't know how to come out to the world and say, hey, I may have feelings for men.
Oh, you talking about coming out?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the thugs, they do things so they can be locked up in jail, so they can spend...
Gay for the stay.
Right, but, they spend a lot of quality time with men in small places. You know?
True.
Hot, sweaty men in the...
Oh, see, now you're getting all descriptive. I don't know about all that hot. I ain't never been locked up, so...
I'm just saying, you know, those cells, they're not that big. It's not a lot of room, and you got the bed in there, and you got a toilet and a sink. It's like, it's not a lot of space, so it's like y'all both get out the bed. If y'all, like, standing together, you're almost, like, rubbed up against each other. I mean, it's a lot of intimate moments that you can have in a small, confined space. And I think that there's some of the thugs out there who crave that those intimate moments where they can like you know, do each other's hair and braid each other's hair and sit on the bed and talk to each other.
See, I can't tell if you're trying to be funny or you're trying to make a point.
No, it's the point. Look, we know what happens in jail. These dudes, they spend a lot of quality time. We know that there's rape, but then there's people who have just like consensual relationships.
Okay, so question. I mean, not saying that this would happen to you. I hope it never does. But what if you get caught up in a situation? I mean, how would you handle it? Let's say you got, you know, you had to do it, even if it's just minimum security.
And look, I am not the one to be in the cell with another guy. It's not for me. I'm the fugitive on the run. I'm the guy you got to shoot in the back. I'm sorry, I'm not stopping. Stop, freeze, nope.
She said nope.
I mean, the alternative is going to jail and hang out. I don't want to shower. I don't want to be in a cell with another dude who might think I'm sexy.
Well, for me, if it ever comes down to that, you know, because I mean, I had an uncle that did many years in prison. I went to school with a lot of dudes that, you know, been in and out. And they tell you, like, when you go through that intake, when you go sit down with the psych, you know, the person in intake, they ask you a bunch of questions. And a lot of them say that's when they say right then and there, yes, I'm suicidal. You know, they'll just say whatever they got to say to either get in their own, like, to, you know, to be housed separately. You know what I'm saying? Right. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But, yeah, I can't even say what. I just know that it would not, you know. I would probably end up doing something that would get me solitary confinement.
Yeah, I'm, you know, because I already know, you know, the first time they try to pull out on me, whatnot, like, you got to suck this shorty. I would probably bite your shit off. I'm sorry. It's like.
You want to do it's your Shawshank Redemption, tell them how much pound per pressure and all that kind of stuff, huh?
Nah, I'm going dirty. It's like, if you want to try to take, look, homie, I suck your dick, and bam, it's over. I'm locked up forever. It's like, but you not going to have one.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah. I feel you.
I'm depressed now.
All right, on to the next. What else you got?
Yeah. You know, I was talking, you know, the other day to one of the homies, and I was like, the difference in the generation is like, in the past, the dudes could be saying some stuff. You know, you could say some stuff to the lady, you could sing a song, whatnot, and it's crazy, but it was smooth, so they didn't catch it. It was like a hit. Like, you know, I always say my number one example, you know, Temptations. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Yeah, he let you know I'm crazy, so you don't think you're trying to leave out of here, you know.
But it's smooth though, right? It's like,
oh yeah.
I know you want to leave me, but it's like the girls dance. Yeah.
Did you just try to sing? Was that what that was?
That no.
Okay.
I lost it. I'm sorry, America and everywhere else. I'm not gonna do that again.
Okay, don't no. You see, about 700 people just hung up just now. See?
Yeah.
See?
Oh my God, he was.
But I know what you're saying. I mean, it's just all about the lyrics.
Yeah, and think about it. Nowadays, you can walk up to a chick, girl, you a bad bitch, and they're like, ooh, that's a compliment.
You know what? I want to say you're right, but I truly believe it's the minority that likes that, but it makes everybody think that the majority of women are like that, that they enjoy that. But I truly still think it's the minority that does that. But because it's pop culture, you know, we live in pop culture. You know, one thing, you know, if one person likes it, eventually it spreads, and then next thing you know, it becomes part of society, but, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you know, that's the way to go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's already part of society, though.
Right, but I'm saying, well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you just look at the music industry, even within, like, R&B, you still have, and I'm not talking about like, I'm not even talking about like your Keith Sweats and all that. I'm talking about like more recent singers who can truly sing and have good stuff, but because they're not singing or saying what I guess you could consider cool or the stuff that's being said by everybody, that they don't get the record sales or the notoriety like, you know, someone like a Chris Brown who can, you know, say some things or, you know, or Trey songs. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, R&B, nowadays it's like the old school disco, ain't no soul in it. It's just, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, right, and then the ones that can sing, the ones that can, like, you know, I'll say something like a Tank or, you know, David Hollister. These dudes that, you know, maybe, you know, that were out a couple years ago, you say, well, what happened to them? They're still out there doing it. They're just not getting any radio play, or you know, they're not getting the record sales like they used to. You know what I'm saying? Because what they're doing, what they're singing about, ain't no different than what the they were doing back in the '60s and '70s. It's just that this generation now, it's like the microwave generation. They want everything boom, boom, boom.
Right. Well, they want they don't want to hear the smooth lyric. They want
no.
Look, bitch, put this nut in your mouth.
Exactly.
I mean,
I'm still
amazed that, well, I ain't amazed by it, but with like the Lil Jon, Usher, Ludacris, skeet, skeet.
Right.
To the windows, to the walls, to the sweat down my balls. Skeet, skeet. I'm like, that's on the radio. There's no edit. It's no.
Oh, no. I mean, and you know what? That wasn't even the, quote unquote, the R-rated version.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is, skeet, skeet, to the sweat drop down my balls is played on the radio.
Anything to sell a record, I mean, I'm not even going to go all deep into it, the FCC and all that. A lot of the records that you're hearing, when they first, like that song that you were just talking about, when it first came out, like the DJs up here, like the radio stations up here, didn't play like, quote unquote, the adult version until like after 10 o'clock at night. But then, you know, within 2 or 3 months' time, they were playing it in 12 o'clock lunchtime mix.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. And I'm just, we're going to go on break because, once again, I'm depressed again.
Oh, man, come on. Not my first night on. You're going to get depressed on me? Oh, wow.
No, I'm good because I'm about to play one of my favorite songs, These My Boys. Anybody who's ever listened to the show know I big up the homies, not because they pay me or that they, you know, send me free stuff, but because they actually do, like, real good music and because I taught them everything they know.
Oh, here you go. Who is it?
This would be the Hue. Drive.
Okay.
With your host, Mr. F the N Word. I'm joined by my homie, big brother, Mr. J. That was the Hue Drive.
What up? What up? I'm sorry, I'm over here just, you know, Facebooking it, doing some other things, looking for some crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah, like always.
Oh, well, you know, I got a question. I mean, if this don't, you know, stray too far off the path.
Ask your question, man.
What do you do? I'm going to rephrase it. And this is something for the listeners out there. What do you do when you meet somebody online? Doesn't matter what social site it is. And they're, you know, more than an hour's drive away, long distance. But, you know, over time you find yourself attracted. How do you deal with that? Basically, do you believe in long-distance relationships?
They happen. Obviously.
Or how long do you let it go long-distance before somebody makes a move? And what are the rules?
I would submit that it probably be the same time as any other it's all in the people and how they feel comfortable in pursuing said relationship.
Would you do it? I'm not saying you particularly. I'm just saying for the listeners or whoever's out there.
Well, I mean, look, if you're comfortable talking to somebody, I mean, obviously the next step is to see. I mean, we have technology. You more than likely you'll have video chatted.
Right.
And, I mean, it still don't preclude whether or not they're crazy and deranged. I mean...
I guess my question is, at what point do you decide to, you know, who comes to visit who, and how long do you go? How long do you, you know, do you communicate before it's like, okay, somebody's got to come visit somebody?
I have no idea.
That's the question.
I mean, now, I got a comment from one of the listeners. Each person involved defines the rules.
Oh, okay. So, okay, then my question is,
the comfort
to the listeners out there, why don't you share your thoughts or, you know, share your experiences?
All right. Well, I think we have a caller.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I can answer that long distance question.
Well, first of all, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Okay. And where is your friend?
Well, who said I'm going through it right now?
Oh, okay. My bad. I'll just sit back and I'll just shut up.
No, I've been wanting to mess with you, Jay, because you've been saying some stuff all night. But in answer to this question...
I like her already. Go ahead.
In answer to this question, as far as who sees who and how long you meet up, each person defines that for themselves. It depends on if you're into that person. Like, if you're both into each other the same way, you can, and I don't know what kind of distance you're talking about, because you said long distance, but that could be in the same state, that could be across the nation, whatever.
Okay, example, you're in California and your friend's in Florida.
Okay.
Why you gotta say Florida, man?
Come on now.
That's the worst place on earth.
Okay. I know you all just right. Gave me the crazy state, but okay, so depending on that, we can meet up on neutral ground, okay?
Okay.
Or he could come out here, or I could go out there. It just depends on the vibe that I'm getting from him. And like Ms. Athenware said, you know, right now you have Skype, you have Ubu. Mm-hmm. You have all these different ways of communicating, because you don't want to be catfished either, you know?
Right. So if that's the case, how long would you go? Let's say, okay, I'm going to give you the scenario. You were on vacation, you know, and boom, you met him in Florida. And let's say he's from Virginia, wherever, it doesn't matter. But you go back to your prospective state. He goes back to where he lives. Y'all keep in touch, you know. How long do you go back and forth with that before you're like, okay, look, we done Skyped, we done Uvu'd and all that. Somebody's got to be willing to get on a plane and come, you know.
And you got tired of having that cyber sex.
Right. You know, and all that. How long should you have to wait?
I mean, wow. You put a time stamp on it. I don't think there's a legitimate time stamp, because it's all in who feels comfortable with who.
Well, okay, you're right, but I'm asking her, in her own opinion, like, for her, like, if, I'm not saying she's experienced this, but how long would you wait?
Well, it's all like this. It's if I'm feeling that person, if they're saying something good to me and I feel like it's true, then I'll bring it up. I mean, it just depends. There are so many factors. There's no cookie cutter or formula way of determining that. But let's say it was November, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him at Thanksgiving or whatever, and we've been talking all this time and everything's cool. Then I'll start looking, and it could be like February now or whatever. I'll start looking to see, oh, when can I take vacation, or even before I look for vacation, if I'm the one to do the traveling, either way, whether I travel or he travels, I'll start looking up tickets just to get an idea.
Okay.
And that's something else you have to think about, too, with a long-distance relationship. It's going to cost. So is this person worth it? Because, I mean, if you're going... If you're going where they are, or if you're meeting in the middle, you know, you're talking about a plane ticket, you're possibly talking about a hotel room unless you're so comfortable that you're staying with this person. Rental car, meals during that time, because just because you're going to see them doesn't mean they're going to cover all expenses when you get there.
Okay, good point. All right.
I want to say, because, you know, we're starting to get up against it, thank you, caller, for your call. And
call back again.
Yes, please call back again. It's always
okay.
Great. Appreciate it.
What's your name again?
Lisa.
Lisa, nice talking to you.
Same here. Good night.
Good night.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of factors. You can't say one way or the other. I mean, obviously, there's the money factor. Money plays a huge part in relationship. You make it happen. Because, I mean, obviously, if you can't afford to be going back and forth, I mean, is it really worth your time? Those are the pertinent questions, you know, with anything. Because if you can't afford to go back and forth and see them, then...
You shouldn't be trying to holler at them.
Yeah, I mean, because there's the infatuation and then there's the reality. And they don't really meet. And on that note, I want to thank my main man, Mr. J. I want to thank my caller.
No problem.
I want to thank my emailers for emailing great questions. I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. Y'all know what it is. We're going to be here next week. Next,
I'll be back.
Holla.
Y'all take care.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.